He is risen. And He is risen indeed. As we come on this beautiful resurrection day, our hearts are filled with joy and gladness. Because Jesus knew that this day was coming. When He hung on that cross on that Good Friday, He knew the suffering that He would endure, but He knew that Sunday was coming. And He rose again just as He said. So before we go into God's Word now, this morning, we'll try to sing a very familiar song, Rise Again, by Dallas Holm. Before the foundation of the world, God our Father devised the great plan of salvation. God the Father chose us in Christ, and in the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of the Virgin Mary, living a sinless and a holy life, and bore our sins on Calvary's tree. And yes, He died, but no man took His life from Him. He laid it down freely of His own self. For He said that I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to raise it up again. And then it's the Holy Spirit that comes and quickens you and me today and raises us from the dead. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, it is because you have also already experienced a resurrection in your heart and in your life. Being a child of God, being born again, is a resurrection from the dead. Now we're going to turn again now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7 in particular, actually verses 1 through 10. And we find, of course, that all four Gospels record the resurrection of Jesus, and I may refer to the others briefly, but primarily want to be in Matthew chapter 28 today. We find that in chapter 27 that there was a rich man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, and he was one of Jesus' disciples. And he was probably one of those prominent Jewish leaders who kept his faith in Jesus quiet. He probably was not a public follower of Christ. But we find that after Jesus died, that Joseph went unto Pilate and he begged to get the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded that his body be delivered to him. This is in chapter 27 and verse number 58. Now, it was on the evening of the Sabbath day. The Jews reckoned time from evening till morning. And it was the evening of the Sabbath, and so they had to hurriedly get their work done, because all of the Jews rested on the Sabbath day. And there was not even time to do the burial spices. But we're going to find in a moment those women came with that intent. So what did Joseph do in 27:59? Well, when he had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb. No one had ever laid in that tomb. One that he had hewn out from rock. And he rolled a great stone over the door and then departed. Now, these women that are the focus of the resurrection story, they followed Jesus every day during His earthly ministry. And I want to say this about godly women in the church today. I believe in many of our churches, if not all, it turns out that those godly women oftentimes are the backbone of the church. Now, yes, the Lord has placed the man as the head of his wife and his family. We are to be the leaders of our families, and we are also to be leaders in bringing our families to church and to worship. But so often, it is the women who keep faithful vigilance in the churches. And in some cases, were it not for faithful women, the doors of some churches would close. And so we're so thankful for them. And so he mentions in verse 61 of 27 And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, sitting over against the sepulchre. This was on Good Friday. On Good Friday. But of course, they didn't have time to embalm Jesus with the burial spice. And so they had intended to wait until the day after the Sabbath to go and do that. But now, the next day that followed the preparation of the Sabbath, the chief priest and those Pharisees, those that delivered Jesus up to Pilate and the Romans to be crucified, they go back to Pilate and they tell him, "We remember what this deceiver said, lying about Jesus. We remember that he said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" Yes, indeed, he said that. And so they wanted Pilate to place a Roman guard at the entrance to that tomb. And they also said, "Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away." And so Pilate consented to it and told them to go their way, and he gave them some Roman guards, and they went and they made sure that sepulchre, they sealed that stone with a Roman seal and set a watch there of Roman soldiers. Now, that stone was already set, and that seal would make it evident if anyone tried to tamper with it. But we know that Jesus was not bound by earthly material. Jesus did not need to have the stone rolled away in order to get out of that tomb when he rose from the dead. In his resurrected body, we know that he was able to pass through physical objects. So he had no need for that stone to be rolled away. We find in our text in Matthew 28, now again, these women that followed him. Now turn over just for a moment to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is 2.5 years prior to Jesus' crucifixion. In Luke chapter 8, we find a little bit more background about especially Mary Magdalene. Luke 8, 1 and 2. "And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, that is the 12 apostles, were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And one of those was Mary, called Magdalene, because that's where she was from, out of whom Jesus had cast 7 devils, or 7 demons. And there was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. They gave all they had to the ministry of Jesus Christ and his apostles." These faithful women, they went with Jesus and the apostles wherever they went, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And many of these Jesus had healed from evil spirits. Some of them had been demon oppressed by the devil. And Jesus had cast those demons out. And now, they were devoted followers of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I just wanted you to see that as a background of some of those women, and especially Mary Magdalene. Now, back in Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, see, Jesus came to usher in a brand new order, the dispensation of the Old Testament law had come to an end. Now we find that we worship Jesus today in His church on the first day of the week, because that's when He rose from the dead. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that was Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and there was another woman in Mark 16. Her name was Salome or Salome. I think she was the mother of James and John, Zebedee's children. And so these women came with the intention of anointing the body with burial spices. But as they arrived, behold, there was a great earthquake. Remember, 3 days earlier in Matthew 27 and verse 51, there was another earthquake. Look over there for just a moment. These earthquakes are a great demonstration of God's power and the wonderful great significance of this moment in history. In 27:51, after Jesus cried with a loud voice and He yielded up His spirit, He yielded up the ghost, and it came to pass that behold, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. That veil was a barrier between the holy place and the holy of holies in the temple. But when that veil was torn asunder, it symbolized the great truth that Jesus, through His shed blood and through His broken body, He has torn asunder the partition that existed between us and God. And it was that barrier of sin in your life and mine. A barrier that could not be breached, that could not be overcome, until Jesus paid the price. Till Jesus cried, saying, "It is finished." He paid that price in full. So that barrier of sin has been removed. And we're now able to go and approach unto the throne of God in prayer, in worship, in meditation, and in service with no hindrance, with no veil between us. And so now we find that there's another great earthquake that happened when the angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back that great stone from the door of that tomb and sat there upon it. Now, one more time, let me say that this angel didn't roll that stone away in order for Jesus to come out. As a matter of fact, Jesus was already gone, I believe, before the stone was ever rolled away. I suspect that the resurrection of Jesus occurred probably moments after midnight. Now, they got there at daybreak. And so it was probably, Jesus had probably already been risen a few hours before the women even got there. But we find that that angel sat there, and his appearance was as it were lightning, and his raiment was white as snow, signifying purity and holiness. In Revelation, you and me are noticed when we are with Him in heaven as being clothed with robes of white robes, because we have also now been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it was that when that earthquake happened, that those Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb, it says in verse 4, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became like dead men." They were as dead men. I believe they probably fainted and fell down to the ground. And so, when they came to themselves, I'm sure they got away as quickly as they could. You see, no power on earth could hold him down. Just like I sang a moment ago, there's no power on earth can hold him down. Nothing could prevent his resurrection. And then the angel answered and said to those women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." You know, every time an angel appeared to men, they always started out by saying, "Don't be afraid." And I believe they had to say that to start off, because if any of us saw an angel, I'm sure that would be our first reaction. We would be afraid. We would be startled. We would be astonished. Do you remember that it was to one particular woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, that the angel Gabriel came and proclaimed that she would be the mother of our Lord? And what did Gabriel first say to Mary? "Fear not, Mary, for behold, you will conceive in thy womb, and you will bear the Son of God." Women form an integral part of the gospel story. And we're not to be afraid today. Jesus and God Himself has not given to you or me a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, or a spirit of intimidation. We're not to allow the devil, nor his demons, nor anyone in this world to make us afraid to show our faith for Jesus Christ. We're not to be timid, nor fearful, nor afraid of those who would seek to persecute us, to ridicule us, to mock us for our faith. We're to stand strong and not be afraid. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For the Lord has not given to us the spirit of fear, but first of all of love, then of power, and then of a sound mind." It was His love that was great, that was most greatly demonstrated when He died on the cross, and then when He rose again. So He says, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're seeking Jesus who is crucified. But he's not here because he has risen just as he said. Now, a couple of Sundays ago, I tried to preach a message in Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 21. Turn back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And we find that Jesus did indeed say that he would rise again from the dead. He foretold his death and his resurrection. Back in chapter 16, Matthew 16, 21. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go. He had to go. He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and then be raised again the third day. So Jesus taught that message to his disciples. But then Peter said, "Be this far from you, Lord." He didn't want that to happen. Of course, from a natural human standpoint, no one would want their friend and their master to suffer. But it had to be that way because there was no other way that our sins could be taken away. And, you know, at that point in time, you know, Jesus even turned to Peter, but then he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me." Matthew 16, 23. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." The devil could not prevent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Throughout history, he tried to prevent Jesus from even being born. But there's no power in heaven or earth or below the earth could prevent his resurrection. He's not here, for he is risen just as he said. And his first appearance was to Mary Magdalene. Turn in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we note, beginning in verse 11, the tender exchange between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. John 20, verse 11. "But Mary Magdalene," John 20, 11, "stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher." Now, this is before Jesus appeared to her. And at this point in time, she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith to them, because in her mind she thought this, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. Now she saw Jesus standing now, but at first she knew not that it was him. That it was Jesus. But then notice this tender exchange in verse 15. "Jesus saith to her, Woman, why do you weep? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she thought that he was the gardener. Supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Now I will take him away." Now look at this. Jesus saith to her, one word, "Mary." And then she turned herself and says to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, Master. Jesus, calling her name, at that moment, He revealed Himself to her, and she knew then that it was Jesus Christ. And it's the same with you and I today. When Jesus calls our name, we know that it is the voice of Jesus speaking to our heart. When He first calls us in the new birth, we respond because there's no power on earth that can prevent the Holy Spirit from raising us from that death in sin to life in Christ. When He calls our name, we respond. What happened with Lazarus? Remember Lazarus in the Gospel of John chapter 11? When Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? Immediately, he came forth, still bound in those grave clothes. There was no lag of time. Immediately, he came forth. So when Jesus said, Mary, immediately she knew that this was her risen Lord. There's another point I want to show you in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Now you remember that what did Jesus command the women to do? What did He command them to do? Well, in Matthew 28, it says in verse 7, And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen. The angel told them, Go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goes before you into Galilee. And there shall you see Him, for lo, I have told you. Now in Mark 16 and verse 7. Mark 16 and verse 7. The angel told the women, But go your way and tell His disciples and Peter, that He goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see Him as He said unto you. Why do you believe He singled out Peter? Well, it was because that just 3 days earlier, Peter had denied knowing his Lord 3 times. 3 times people asked him, Weren't you one of His followers? Weren't you one of His disciples? And 3 times he vehemently denied it, saying, No, I don't know this man. And then you remember that awful time. The cock began to crow. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Because he remembered Jesus said that would happen. And so Peter, no doubt, was in a great state of sorrow and despair. Now remember, it wasn't just Peter that denied Jesus. All of those disciples forsook him and fled. And you know what? We're no different today. You know, anytime we stray away from what Jesus would have us to do, we are also, in essence, denying our Lord. Anytime we sin and turn our face away from Him, we are denying our Lord. Anytime we fail to stand up in the world we live in, and stand up for what's right, we are denying our Lord. And so He wanted especially for those women to tell Peter. And so they did. But what was the angel's command? The angel's command was to go and tell, proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's evangelism. Going out and spreading the gospel, the good news of our salvation. Go and tell. So they did. They found Peter. And in John chapter 20, it says this in verse 2. So Mary Magdalene, she ran, and John 20 and verse 2, and she came and she found Simon Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. And she said to Peter and to the other disciples and John, whom Jesus loved, that was John, and saith to them, now this is actually before Jesus appeared to Mary. And at that point, she still thought that they had taken Jesus away. But what did they do? Peter and John, in verse 3, they therefore went forth, and the other disciple, that was John, and they ran. They ran, both of them. And the other one, John, outran Peter, came first to the tomb. And he stooped down, he looked in there, and he saw those linen clothes lying, but he didn't go in. But then comes Simon Peter following him. He went in, and he saw those linen clothes lying there. And he saw the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And so, then John, the other disciple, went in and came first and saw. And it says, when he saw, he believed. Look you there. In verse 8, then went in also the other disciple. This is John, who came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Well, sometimes it took seeing to believe, but they did not yet know the Scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Now, sometimes seeing is not believing, but rather believing is really seeing. But the point I want to make is that they followed the command of those angels, and they immediately arose up and went and told his disciples, go and tell. Now, back in Matthew 28, again, we have a commission today. It's called the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Now, Jesus comes to the 11. Remember, Judas was the one who betrayed him. So, he comes to the 11 disciples, Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, that's where Jesus commanded them to go, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him there, what did they first do? They worshiped him. That should always be our first response when by the eye of faith we're blessed to see our Lord. Our first response should be to bow down and worship Him. Although there were some that doubted. And then Jesus came and He spoke to them saying this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's God. He's God. Now risen from the dead. He has all power. All power and all authority. And now He commands us to go and tell. Go, you therefore, and teach all nations. That word teach means to make disciples. Make disciples. does not mean that we have the power to raise anyone from death and sin to life in Christ. We don't. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But when we know and we see the evidences, the outward evidences in people's lives that the Lord has worked in their heart, He commands us to tell them the gospel news that they have been set free from the bondage of sin and death, and it's our responsibility to disciple them and encourage them to be a follower of Jesus. And then, when those come into the church being discipled, then the minister is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus gave that example. He gave that example, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But guess what? He is coming again someday. Paul said in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and I believe He does. Romans 8:11, if the Holy Spirit of Christ, that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. If we die before Jesus comes again, when He does come, He will quicken your mortal body just in the same way that He quickened the body of Jesus on that first resurrection day. He's coming again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me leave you with this. I believe you look there in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul, in this great resurrection chapter in the Bible, says, behold, I show you a mystery, a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There will be some living when Jesus comes again that will not experience physical death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the blinking of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It will happen, just as Jesus said. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, because corrupt flesh cannot inhabit heaven's pure world. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible body, incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying of Isaiah the prophet, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But, I love the buts in the Bible, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks. And remember, Thanksgiving's not just in November. It's every day of the year. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you on this beautiful resurrection day.